Got a lot of Judy's family here. Happy to have you. Happy to have Thurman back. Happy to have everyone here. If I didn't mention your name, happy to have you here. And I know everybody wants you to come back. You know, this is my last Sunday morning here as minister, and I just want to say thank you to everyone. I appreciate you. I love you. And I'm not going to go on and on about it, but I do love and appreciate each and every one of you. And today we're going to talk about Christ, but we're going to talk about Christ that cares, because we do have a Christ that cares about us. I often say from up here, He wants us to win. He does not want us to lose. Oftentimes we read the Bible and we see what we need to try and do with our lives, and we think, well, this seems like He's against me. This seems like God's against me. There's no way I can do these things. There's no way that I can live like this. But the truth is, God wants you to win. Jesus wants you to win. He wants you to do well. And if you'll turn with me to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we're going to read a little story here. It's Luke 4, verses 16 through 21. And this is speaking of Jesus. So He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon Him. Now Jesus, this is when He came into His own, if that's possible with Jesus, because He was always into His own. But this is when He was inaugurated, in a sense. He'd been baptized by John the Baptist. He had just been tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And He's gone back to His hometown in Nazareth. And it says, as His custom was, He went to the synagogue. And isn't that a great thing? Jesus went there, and the synagogue was a place where displaced Jews, they would get together and worship God without the temple. And so it was a temporary type space in a way. But Jesus went in there, and He said basically, this is why I've come. It's to preach the gospel to the poor. And oftentimes we think, well, you know, that's poor people. And Jesus certainly did care about poor people, didn't He? But it's also spiritually poor people. And there are a lot of those all over the world. People who have lost their fervor. They've lost their ability to see what's important in this life. That the only thing that matters is God, that the only thing that matters is Christ. And we see this all over the place. We can see it on our TVs. We can see it everywhere we go. If you drive around, you're going to see a lot of people out. They're not going to be here on a Sunday morning. And a lot of them are not going to be sick. A lot of them are going to be well. They're just sleeping in, what have you. We need to make sure that we get up on the first day of the week and we go and pay homage toward God. Now, Jesus was here. He was there for those people, and He's here for us. And that's something we should remember. Jesus went in there. He didn't go in there to show off. He didn't go in there because He thought it would make Him look good. Jesus went in there because He was going to help those people. He wanted to help those people. Like we said earlier, He wanted them to win. And Jesus wants everyone here today to win. And we're going to get to the end, at the end of the lesson, we're going to get to how you can do that. But all eyes were fastened on Jesus when He said those things, this prophecy. And He said, basically, this prophecy is about me. And He just sat down. And all of them knew that something's different with this guy. All eyes were fastened on Jesus. And that was their possibility of deliverance. And today, it's our possibility of deliverance. Jesus is. And so in Hebrews 12, verse 3, we read, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself." Consider him. And I ask you today, will you consider him? And when you consider him, if you choose him, you have to take up your cross. You have to understand that it's a life dedicated to Christ. Now I'm going to talk about something that's very interesting. When I was driving down here today, I saw all the trees coming out, all the beautiful things. And I started to think, because this is in the lesson, but I started to think, look at all the things that Christ created. Because Christ is the one that created those things. All good things were created by Christ. In John 1, verse 3, we read, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." And the Bible says that God is expressed in three persons. It's basically three personalities, but one essence. And that's hard for us to wrap our minds around, but that's what he is. And Jesus is his own personality, but he is responsible for creating all. And when we think about things, we look at, you may go to the Grand Canyon and you may think, wow, this is amazing. Look at the immensity of this. But what if you were the size of a flea and you looked at a snowflake? Wouldn't that be amazing? If you ever look up pictures of snowflakes, it's literally a work of art, a work of engineering. And so when we look at everything in our lives, when we get up in the morning, we drink our coffee and we look at our hand, it's a marvel of engineering. All the technology in the world, they can make things that are replacements, but they can't make anything like what we're born with naturally from God. We think about artificial intelligence. It's everywhere now. You know, it's becoming the new buzzword. But all of it, if you go and you type something in, you say, "Write me a paper about this topic." When you read it, you think, there's something weird about this paper, you know. And so we need to realize the power that God gave us, the abilities, the things that he created that we use every day, even unto ourselves, our very bodies, our very minds. Our minds are the ultimate supercomputer. And God made all of this. And this shows us the power of Christ. We talked a while back about all the solar systems, and I'm going to read this to you. We look out at the universe, and scientists say that there are between 100 and 200 billion observable galaxies, and that there are about 100 million stars on average in each of those observable galaxies. We look out at everything, and we see blackness, we see stars, we see all these things, and we are, as one man put it, a pale blue dot. There was a picture of Earth from miles and miles away, and it looked like a little dot. And we are marooned here. And there is no hope for us without Christ. That's the only way we're going to make it. Nobody here is going to make it out alive from this pale blue dot. But in reality, we all are, aren't we? Our souls are. And we want to spend eternity in the right place because our souls are eternal. Our souls cannot die, and we need to make sure that when we leave this earth, that we're in the right place, that we are with Christ, and that we are not in that other place. But God created us in his own image, and I want to reinforce something today. You are special. You are worth something. You are valuable. You should have self-esteem by the very fact that God made you. God does not make junk. In Genesis 1:27, we read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." If God created you, it's an insult to say that you're not worth anything. It's an insult to say that you're a loser. And I'm sure many of us in here have said that to ourselves. I know I have. But we need to say to ourselves that we are worthwhile, that we are valuable, that we are from God, and that he cares about us. And again, that he wants us to win. Christ cares. Now, when we think about hope. There's a lot to that word. Without hope, you can't get up. We all have some amount of hope where we could not get up. Now, our hope can be put on material things. Our hope can be put on money and building up material wealth, progressing in our job. Our hope can be put on physical activity, you know, working out and all that stuff. I've done that in the past. I still work out, but I mean, you can get carried away with it. There's many things in this life that we can get carried away with and that can replace our only true hope. And when that happens, you are in a very precarious situation. I'm sure every one of us today are going to drive home on a road that I would say, being from Kentucky and coming down here, is a pretty dangerous road. There's a lot of, you know, I've been in traffic in various areas, California, Los Angeles, and this one ranks in the midst there, Atlanta, a lot of places. And every time we get on the road, whether it's on the littlest country road or the biggest superhighway, we are in some danger. And if something happens, we have a wreck. Something happens, we have an accident, and if something is taken away from us, it could be our lives, but it could also be our movement. That's happened to many people. We think about someone like Christopher Reeve and people like that, that these accidents can happen, and you can go from being a very strong, able person to having a disability. And all of us, over time, we develop disabilities, you know, abilities that are not there for us as much as they used to be. And over time, our hope will start to fade if we put our hope in those things. But there's one hope that cannot fade. There's one hope that is completely bulletproof when it comes to all of these things. And that is the hope of Christ, the caring of Christ, the compassion of Christ. And Christ is everything. And if there's one thing I want to leave you with today, the only way to win, and you know, in this is a very competitive world we live in. It's very competitive. You want to get followers. You want to see if you can get likes. You want to see, you know, all this social media stuff. In sports, we want to win. And while there's nothing inherently wrong with some of these things, as long as what you're doing is not against God's will, this is not the ultimate hope. Our ultimate hope is Christ. And in order to have Christ, we have to follow Christ. And we know what Christ's life was like. It was difficult at times, wasn't it? It was sometimes very hard for him to stand up for what was right. But he always did it. Every time. And anytime anybody needed anything, he was there to help them. Now, what's the answer when it comes to becoming a Christian and having that ultimate hope of Christ? Well, Paul, he didn't have a complicated answer when he spoke to the Philippian jailer who asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" If you remember that story, it was Paul and Silas, and they were in jail, and an earthquake came. All this dramatic stuff. And this jailer knew that if those prisoners escaped, that he was doomed. So the chains fall from the prisoners. This earthquake comes. And it's possible for Paul and Silas to get away. But they call out and say, "Fear not, we're still here. We're still here. We're not going anywhere." This jailer was so thankful that the prisoners weren't leaving and basically sentencing him to death, that he says, "What must I do to be saved?" What's the answer? In Acts 16, verse 31, we read, "So they being Paul and Silas, said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And then what does believing include? Well, it goes on there. Acts 16, verse 32 and 33, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. So the question is, will you accept this hope, this deliverance of Christ? Will you win this morning? Will you take your life and will you turn it from what you may have said at one time, well, I'm a loser. You know, we have some people do this. I did at one time, and during parts of my life, I felt like a loser. But the truth is, you cannot be a loser if you're in Christ. You will win if you're in Christ. That doesn't mean don't strive to do things here on earth. We should all strive to do that. It's good to do that. But we should always know that our ultimate hope comes from Christ. So will you do what Christ asks you to do? Will you commit to the process? We're going to go over that at the end of this lesson. And if you do, then you're going to have purpose and meaning like the world is searching for right now. So many young people, so many middle-aged people, so many older people are looking for hope and meaning. They're trying to fill in a hole, a God-shaped hole, with social media, with artificial intelligence, with any new thing that can come along and it's not satisfying them. I think if you talk to any person, and I often watch people, I'll watch people in different genres, and usually if you talk to somebody or you hear somebody making a YouTube video or whatever about making money, they're not saying, you know, I'm very satisfied with the amount of money I have right now. This is very nice. They're talking about how I'm going to get more. I'm going to get more money. It's always about that. Well, now, why is that? It's because you can't fill that hole, that God-shaped hole in your heart, with earthly things. There's only one hope that will work, and that hope is Christ. But you will have that hope if you do as Christ says. And we got to remember, He's coming soon. And I'm going to wrap this up. But Jesus is coming soon, and we know that our time will end very soon. We don't know when Jesus is going to come, but we know that it's not going to be too long. It's going to be within, you know, our lives are going to end. We're definitely going to have to answer by then. So that's the longest it could be for us. And then our kids' lives and their grandkids' lives, all that. It could be a million years. But in the eyes of God, that's still soon. And we need to make sure that we are ready by the end of our short lives. That our kids are ready by the end of their short lives. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And anybody who's been through traumatic things will know you need that peace and that He will give you that peace in your greatest trials. So do you have Christ today? Do you have that ultimate hope? Do you have that peace? Do you have the only thing that will fill that God-shaped hole in your heart? Because if you don't, I'm going to read you a plan that will give that to you. I'm going to read it to you right now. What the Bible says you need to do in order to become a Christian. First, you need to hear the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Then you need to believe in God and that Jesus is the Son of God, Hebrews 11, 6. Repent of your sins, that means turn away from them, Luke 13, verse 3. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men. Matthew 10, 32. Be baptized for remission of sins. Mark 16, 16 and Acts 2, 38. And then live faithfully unto death. We don't know how long that's going to be, but we need to live faithfully until that day. Revelation 2, verse 10. If you have need this morning of that ultimate hope, if you have need this morning of baptism, or if you'd like the prayers of this congregation, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.